Wish I could do a Paul Harvey impersonation, but I can never get that down. But I have some little rest of the story things for you. A group of first graders were given a part of a story, and they were to provide the rest of the story in form of a proverb. And just here's a few of them. And maybe you've heard these. Strike while the bug is close. It's always darkest before daylight savings time. Never underestimate the power of termites. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. You can't teach an old dog new math. The pen is mightier than the pigs. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. A penny saved is not much. They're profound first graders, aren't they? Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. If at first you don't succeed, some of you appreciate this, get new batteries. You get out of something only what you see in the picture on the box. And then the classic, when the blind leadeth the blind, get out of the way. That was the rest of the story for some first graders. Well, today we want to look at the rest of the story as far as what Christ's death turned into life. And we're talking about the story of life. And in a minute we're going to look at just four words that emphasize this issue of life. Before we do, I'd like us to just spend a short time in prayer and ask for God's help as we desire to bring forth His Word. Father, I come to You in prayer, and I just pray this morning. This is the resurrection day, and I know that I've just been so bent on trying to make this a special day for our guests and all that. And Father, just help us to think about You. It's all about You. And help us, Lord, just to focus on how wonderful You are and how powerful to have victory over death and all that hope that provides for us. Lord, I ask that we might indeed have a great time of celebration today. Not as we think about each other, not as we think about the events going on up in this platform, but as we think about the mighty power that exists in this great universe because of You. And the fact that this mighty power, God, wants to have a relationship with us. And we thank You for that, Lord. And that we can pray to You not as just some essence out there, but as a personal being who loves us and has given Your life for us so we can have eternity with You. Help me do my part that I might be able to share Your Word in such a way that is a source of encouragement. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now look at that word life, and the first letter I want to look on that. By the way, if you have your information sheet, this is outlines on the back of it. We want to look at the element of love. First word that comes to my mind when I think of life, the story of life, is the story of love. That love means sacrificial giving of self. We have such a concept of love that it's some emotion that's driven, something we can fall in of, something we can fall out of, and something that kind of is driven by certain emotions and things along that line. But when you look at it from the perspective of the Bible says that love is an action. It's something that is done to better someone else on their behalf. The Bible says this, but God demonstrates His own love. Here's how He does it. He demonstrates love. It's something that you can demonstrate. He demonstrates it towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, think of the story of the resurrection. That which takes place prior for that is the realization that Jesus died. Jesus didn't just faint. Jesus didn't just hide for a little while and come back. He actually died. The documentation of the beatings that He went through, the documentation of the number of things that He experienced, and the essence of the cross, we know He died. They prepared His body for death. And at death, it says, that is what was a payment of our sin. And it was a result of His love. He loved us so much. Some of you are familiar with the John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given us the opportunity for love. Another verse in Scripture, 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." Some of you might be familiar with the song. It's called the Hand Song, and I won't read the whole song for you, but this portion should give you an idea of what the love of Jesus Christ is about. It starts out with a story of a little boy. It says, "The boy only wanted to give his mother something, and all of her roses had bloomed. Looking at him as he came rushing in, without knowing her roses were doomed. All she could see were the thorns buried deep, and tears that he cried as she tended his wounds. And she knew it was love. It was what she could understand. He was showing his love. That's how he hurt his hands. He still remembers that night as a child on his mother's knee. She held him close. She opened her Bible and quietly started to read. Then seeing a picture of Jesus, he cried out, 'Mama, he's got scars like me.' And he knew it was love. It was what he could understand. He was showing his love. That's how he hurt his hands." Just as a little boy taking those roses and getting the thorns stabbed into his middle of his hands to show his love for his mother, Jesus Christ, when the hands were pierced, feet were pierced, he hurt his hands showing his love for us. Question sometimes is this, is that we think about the things that Jesus has done for us. Love, He has done that for us so that we can spend eternity for Him, but He also has done it for us so that we can show love for other people. What kind of scars do we have to show our love for other people? Have we ever hurt our hands trying to love other individuals? How can we show love? Galatians 5:13 says, "Through love we should serve one another." And by serving one another and having a desire to give our lives for others, we can get an opportunity to mimic what Jesus Christ has done, giving to others as Christ has given to us. The first word I think of in regard to this word life is that word love. And Jesus Christ laid down His life, gave His life for us out of love, so that we can spend eternity with Him. The second word that I see on this word life is the word intercession. Intercession. Dictionary kind of talks about the intercession is to be a go-between. Actually, the word session comes from the Latin word, which means to give away. It's kind of the idea of going in and being able to work between two parties and help work things out. The Bible says this about intercession. It says, "Therefore, He," talking about God, "is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him," Jesus Christ, "since He always lives to make intercession for them," out of Hebrews 7:25. That word intercession reminds us of another passage of Scripture found in 1 Timothy. It says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all." Here we see the picture of the intercession that Jesus Christ took the opportunity of the grave, the tomb that was that He was sealed in, that after He died He was placed in, becomes a doorway now, that He can provide intercession for us, that He can indeed provide that opportunity that we can be with God. I don't know if you understand this or not, but one of the things about God is that God is holy. He is righteous, and because of His holiness, He cannot have within His presence any sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you do little sins or big sins. It only takes one sin to separate us from God, for God is holy. Just like taking, and if we were to take the brightest, brightest, brightest light and to put the little speck there in the way, you'd see the speck because of the bright, brightness of the white. And the idea is that God is so holy, meaning without any sin, that His presence of sin would be an offense to Him, and He cannot have that relationship. Now that makes for a very difficult situation for us, in that we are sinners. We're sinners by nature. We come into this world sinning. And it's understandable that God wouldn't want anything to do with this. But the Bible says, as we looked at earlier, he loved us so much that he didn't want us to stay separated from him. And that Jesus' death becomes that door of intercession, that he is the one who can make things right between us and the Father. Several years ago, I had that opportunity working with a father and his son. They had come into some issue where they just were very conflicted with each other. They couldn't get along. They didn't even want to talk with each other. They didn't want to talk about each other. And so I came in as the intercessor. And I came in to mediate. And I remember sitting down with these two men and working with them and being the one to help bridge and help work the things out. And it was such a joy in my heart to see them be able to have a relationship after our time together. That's what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ makes it possible that we can have intercession with God, that we can have that relationship with God. Another thing about that intercession is this, is that the Bible says that when we come to God, we come to Him through prayer. The Bible says that we pray to the Father. The Father is the one who gives the good gifts from above, but we come to Him not in our own name. I can't come to God based on, hi, this is Scott Owen, I'm coming in the basis of Scott's righteousness, and I want to ask for these things. Kind of reminds me of this coming week. My wife Marty and I are going to go down to over to Ames, and at Ames we're going to have the state conference for our Fellowship of Churches. And because our church clerk has signed this card that says I can go vote at the state conference. Now, I can't go there and just say I'm Scott Owen and I want to vote based upon who I am. They won't let me do that. But if I can come with this blue card, it's got the signature of the church clerk that you voted on and put in that position, it says that I am representing you. That I can go and say whatever I want as long as Marty lets me. Because of this card. And it has that authorization. The same thing with Christ, that He is the mediator between us and God, that we can pray through what He has done. It's not based upon our righteousness. If we stood before God and made requests to Him based upon what kind of points we have scored with God and what kind of influence we have with God, where would we be? We couldn't get in the door. But because we can come in the name of Jesus Christ, that this intercession is possible through Jesus Christ. He's the go-between. So when we think of Christ being living, He is a living God. One of the things that I've noticed in some of the movies that we see that are Christian-based, that want to give the gospel out, and usually there's a case where there's that one hard-headed individual. And then there's that individual who's the believer that wants to see them come to know Christ. And usually somewhere along the line, that one who has been showing love to the hard head, something happens to where someone is going to try to hurt the hard head, or someone's going to fall on the hard head, or someone's going to run over the hard head, and the Christian jumps in the way and takes the bullet, takes the avalanche, takes the car, takes whatever it might be, and dies. And the other person is like, wow, they did this for me. You know, that's a great illustration of what Jesus Christ has done. But the thing is, once that person's dead, he's dead. And the true picture of Christ is he not only died to pay the penalty of our sin, but he lives to help us get to where we need to get going. So it's not just an issue of sacrificing his life for us. He still sacrifices his living life to be able to be available for us. He doesn't just die and go on and do his own thing. He still lives out of concern for us. And I got to tell you, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. He didn't just pay for a penalty, go on his way and say, well, I did my job, you know, brush himself off. I hope they can do well on their own now. He's a living God who desires to help us step by step, making intercession for us, making it possible that we can have a wonderful relationship with God. Now, this too is transferable to us. We can love others, and the list can go on of ways we can love, but we can also intercede. Look at three different things quickly. One, we can be praying for others. In Ephesians 6:18, for those that are familiar with this passage, this is where God is talking about where the battle with the spiritual enemies are there, and talks about the fact that we can have the weapons, the armor of God to fight against the devil and his army. And at the end of all that, he says the one thing that's going to make sure that we can be fully protected is that we pray for one another. Intercessory prayer. Praying on the behalf of our others that are in the battle. So one of the things that you can be an intercessor is that you can be praying for other individuals. Second thing is you can take the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that we are ambassadors. We have a great opportunity to represent Jesus Christ to other individuals. That individuals who are in the same place where we were when we had not placed our faith in Christ, that we were, the Bible calls us enemies of God, that we can recognize that the same way that we were brought to Christ and our lives were made whole through placing our faith in Jesus Christ, we can provide that same opportunity to other people. We can be representatives. God didn't choose to use angels. He doesn't use sky riders. He doesn't have things spell out in the ground or anything like that. He desires to connect with other people by using people like us. Amazing what He's willing to do. To use us to share the gospel, that we can be ambassadors, great representatives of Jesus Christ to intercede for others. And the third thing we can do is reconcile with believers. Philippians chapter 4 talks about the fact there were two women that were having some problems in their local church. They just weren't getting along. That happens sometimes. It doesn't always just happen with women. It happens with men too. But these particular women were not getting along. And they said, work with them. Help them. Help bridge between them. Be the intercessors, the mediators. And folks, we have that kind of responsibility with one another. We ought not sit back and watch, whoa, they're really having a fight. these guys really aren't getting along. God has called us to be peacemakers, to bring people together. And we can be intercessors to help them be able to have that union. One of the greatest things that Jesus ever prayed for His followers is that we might be one. That we might have harmony. And yet you look around at the different churches and what do you see? You see fights here and fights there and people not getting along and people dividing and running off here or there. And God says that His most desirous thing is that we might be unified. What a wonderful truth that we tend to ignore, but we can be intercessors. Something that kind of goes along with this issue of helping us to be brought together is this third word, forgiveness. Forgiveness kind of has the idea of to give up. It doesn't mean to give up with futility. It kind of has more of the idea of just to give up in the sense of being willing to not allow that thing to have the energy that it does to provide separation. Look at a few verses from the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, it says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile." I like that word, futile. It's kind of interesting. If the grave is full with the body of Christ, our faith is empty. That's what that word futile means. You want to look at it that way. If the grave was still full with the body of Christ, our faith would be empty. But because the grave is empty, our faith can be full. So look at it that way. You are still in your sins. If Christ is not risen, we are still in our sins. We still will have to bear the burden of the guilt of sin. I don't know if you've had an experience where you've had the wall of sin, where you lived in the shadow of that wall, or the burden of the sin upon your shoulders that you carried along as the guilt continued to just bear down and bear down. And in those moments when your mind is not working on something in particular and it just kind of decides to go an idle, those thoughts come back and you just become remorse with the sin of what you've done and thinking about what a terrible person you might have been in that situation. Well, you see, God has no desire for us to bear those kind of burdens. God has every desire that we might be set free, so much so that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for that reason. Folks, if you're carrying a burden of sin and guilt, you're doing it unnecessarily. And you're also doing it in the face of what God has done to provide for you a way to get rid of that guilt, to get rid of that sin. For God has given us this opportunity to be forgiven of sin. Another portion of Scripture, Colossians 1, says this, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That we can have that load lifted up off our shoulders. I can remember some times when I know I offended another individual. And I can remember it was very hard to look in the eyes of that individual because I just the shame was just so great. And to finally, I mean, just get enough, you know, get enough energy up to get close and then just turn away. And not be able to get the words out because the shame is so great, because the barrier is so great. And how God has made it possible through this process of forgiveness. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He has such a desire that we be free from these sins, so much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die. I hope you don't take that lightly. I hope you don't take lightly and just say, well, you know, Christianity is maybe an option. I just want to encourage you, if you're thinking about that, to think through this concept. Think through the concept of the fact that if it is an option, why would God go through all these... It's either not an option, or it's not at all. Okay, let me explain that. Because if it were just an option, then it would be a waste. Because if there's some other way to do it, God allowed something tragic to take place. I believe the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again because it was the only option available to mankind who sinned in the garden, was separated from God, and God said it will have to be paid for, and the only payment would be the holy payment of God dying on the cross in a payment for our sins. And if I can't accept that, then I have to accept the fact that either it's all completely wrong, or that God made some huge mistake if He did do that. For if I can just get to heaven, or if I can just get my sins forgiven by doing the good deeds, then God made a huge mistake of sending His Son to die on the cross for my sins. The importance of forgiveness is something that we can transfer as well. It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. Sometimes it's difficult to forgive people. Maybe you've had a day like this individual. She was flying at the airport, and here's her story. At an airport one night with several long hours before her flight, she hunted for a book in an airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which he tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief finished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would black his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and he broke it in half. He offered her half. As he ate the other, she snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother. This guy has some nerve, and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. I think sometimes as we as we think about our desire to hold things against other people and to consider them ungrateful and consider them thieves and consider them whatever, let us think about what have we been doing? What is our relationship with God? How have we offended Him? The question is, whose cookies are they? The final word we want to look at is that word eternity. Eternity basically is wrapped up in these words in John chapter 17, verse 3. It's to know God. Eternity is to know God. Eternity is not just to go on and on and on and on and on like this message. Eternity is forever with God. So there's a difference with things that go on and on and on and on. You can have something go on and on and on that's not pleasant. But you can have eternity is life with God, which I guarantee you is pleasant. 1 Corinthians 15:19, the passage of Scripture we looked at earlier about the hope that we have. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to jot that down, is a chapter that talks all about the resurrection. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. In other words, if this is it, if this is it, it's not worth it. Several years ago, I was at my first church as I was the pastor, and I can remember they were celebrating something. I don't remember what exactly it was. But the chairman of the deacons, he came up to me and he gave me this little box. And in that box, he had wrapped up so nicely. He says, Pastor, we want to give this to you to show our great appreciation for you. And I think, oh, wow, yeah, okay. It's so nice. You know, and I'm thinking, they're just such sweet people and they're giving me this wonderful gift. And I open up this gift and I pull it out and it's a watch. Nobody's ever given me a watch before. It was a broken watch. I didn't know what to do because, you know, we were in a small church and the first church and, you know, they could barely support to have a pastor there and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know if the guy was sincere, this is the best they could come up with, or whether it was a joke, and I was like, my mind's going 100 miles an hour and I go, I don't know what to say. And I thought about this watch and this gift and I thought, this is really not that great. I mean, I could try to clean it up and, you know, try to do something, but it's still going to be a broken watch. You know, and that's the way I think about this world. You know, it's got, it might have some nice things, but all you try to clean it up, I mean, you can do all the ecological things to this world you want to and try to get it back the way it might have looked like, similar to the Garden of Eden, whatever, it's still going to fall short what God has planned for us in eternity. It is just not going to match up. When we look at this life, it is easy to become disappointed. I remember one time years ago, I was attending a seminar on how to get rich. And they had this motivational speaker there. And I remember he said, to the first 20 people who come up here, I'm going to give this card. And it was this phone card that you could get all this time on. And it only cost, you know, a few cents per minute. And this is back, you know, a few years back before phone cards, cell phones, and everything real popular. And all these people lined up. And they just lined up and they got these cards and they're all looking at us. Guys are sitting down there thinking, you know, we really, you know, we got in line. You guys didn't. We're getting the card. He hands out these cards and they all sit down. He says, now all you have to do to activate this is call such and such and such and such and put it on your charge card. And all these people are thinking, huh? Okay. This isn't what I thought it was. I thought this guy was giving me free minutes to talk on the phone. He's giving me something where I got to go buy something. And other people have walked out of there pretty frustrated. They're thinking, man, this isn't what I thought it would be. And maybe there's people here looking at life and say, man, this isn't what I thought it would be. But you know, this isn't what it's going to be. What it's going to be is eternity. It's going to be something totally different than this. Something better. And something far beyond what God has given to us here. And if there's anything here on earth that you enjoy, in other words, maybe you're the type of just sitting there saying, man, I love it here. I love it. I have friends here. I got things I love. I got, there's toys and there's all these great things. And you say, well, these are things God created for us. God created all this on earth and it's been tainted by sin and He did it in 6 days. Okay? You like it? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's been there since shortly after 30-some A.D., preparing a place for us. In 6 days, He made this world and you like it. What's heaven going to be like? It is going to be great. You know why you don't know a whole lot about heaven? Because if God described it in detail, we wouldn't be worth much here. Because we just not have any desire to be here at all. But God's got eternity planned for us, and it's possible through Jesus Christ. And He says this, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." God is desiring for us not to have this just this life. And if Jesus Christ never rose again, that's all we would have. His resurrection is the opportunity for us to spend eternity. That we don't have to end our life here. But instead it can go on. This also is something that we can experience. How can you experience eternity? The Bible is very clear. A lot of people wondering about this. They're wondering, can I have eternal life? There's some people so bold to say, if you say you have eternal life, you have sinned, because that's a presumption. That God just out there provides eternal life. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But here's a portion of Scripture that tells you how to get it, and you can know you got it. And you should know you have it. You shouldn't be doubting whether or not you're going to spend eternity with God. God isn't out there saying, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not. I go to eternity, I might not. He says you can know you have eternal life. So you don't have to spend your time here on earth wondering what you're going to do after this life. You can spend your life here on earth living in appreciation of what's coming up ahead and putting your focus on ministering to other individuals. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. That's pretty standard, pretty upfront. Doesn't seem really wonder. He's given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Well, I wonder how I find it. Well, it's in His Son. I don't have to look very far with that. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, how do I get the Son? These things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. God makes it very clear. It's not a whole lot of hoops to jump through. It's not a whole lot of things you have to do. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder, am I going to have eternal life or not? He says you can have eternal life through placing your faith in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is believing who He is. He is God who came and died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again. Easter. Resurrection Day. It's what we're here for. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful truth that sometimes gets all hidden in all the eggs and the bunnies and the clothes and the programs and all that type of stuff, but it's so simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross for each of our sins that we might have eternal life. And it's something that each one of us can have. I made my decision back in 1975 when I finally realized I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it because I was going to be good. I wasn't going to find some other individuals that are doing good and copy them and be like them. I wasn't going to get to heaven by reading through the Bible. I wasn't going to get to heaven by being baptized. I wasn't going to get to heaven by stopping cussing. I wasn't going to heaven by all these different things I was trying on the outside. It was through believing on Jesus Christ and that He paid the penalty of my sin. Those four words again. Life. Jesus Christ loved us so much He gave His life. He intercedes for us. We have a living Savior that we might be able to have someone who is constantly there with us. He didn't just die and gone. He lives. Forgiveness. Because the fact that He is no longer in the tomb, we are no longer in our sins. We have hope. Eternity. We can spend eternity with Him and we can go and show that gratitude and be able to spend the rest of our lives thanking Him and praising Him and enjoying all the great things He has provided for us. This is a story of life. Story that, as we saw earlier in the skit, started from way back when God prophesied all the things to happen, and the life of Jesus Christ doesn't stop at His death but continues on. And I trust that you have placed your faith in that and that you can celebrate this resurrection day by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. Lord, I pray for those who are believers that they might recognize the great, awesome opportunities they have to reflect your character by loving other people, by interceding for other people, by forgiving other people, by helping others come to know you and have eternal life. Father, I pray for any that might be here that maybe for the first time are starting to understand that eternal life is within their grasp, that they don't have to wonder, they don't have to hope that they go to heaven, that they spend time with you, that you have a desire, a great desire to spend eternity with each one here. Actually, Lord, you have a great desire to spend eternity with the whole world. That's what you died for. And Father, I pray that they will place their faith in you and be able to spend eternity, and that this might be the most exciting Easter they've ever experienced. Father, thank you again for your word, and pray that you have your blessing upon our time together as we dismiss and as we go and celebrate more of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.